Your brain doesn't work good.
No. My brain works fine. It's better.
You just said that your brain didn't work good.
Yeah, I said my brain doesn't work good with structured environments.
Right. My brain doesn't work good.
With structured environments.
Take everybody's quotes out of context, then I can take your quotes out of context too.
Whose your quote brain did doesn't I work take good. Out of context?
Not necessarily yours. Just people in general. I've been reading some pretty messed up quotes because people have been taking them out of context lately.
I mean, mostly, some of them are funny, but...
So, sure. But, if you can't read all the words in the proper order, then you're me playing a game of Magic.
Yeah.
And that's just not the way to be.
Like, no. This is exactly how it works. I can barely read.
I'm fairly confident that... It just does whatever I want it to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me, Mr. Pro Tour Magic the Gathering player. I'm pretty sure this card just says you lose the video game. We're not playing a video game. Shut up, video game. Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuesdays on a Brew. I'm Samus, he's Travis.
Say hello. Yo!
I didn't say yo, I said say hello.
Yo!
This week's episode, what would you do for a bump, bump, bump? We can't.
Copyright infringement.
You know what's going on. And subtitles, Startled Awake is an okay Magic card. I've got a story.
Oh, I've got a better one. Good.
I bet you do. But let's do Troll Cards of the Week. I want to do Invasive Surgery. Travis has the word unexpected. Is that a Magic card?
Yeah, I just didn't want to type in the second word.
Okay. What's this? Am I supposed to guess? Oh, nope. I'm going to type in the unexpected. We have two. We have unexpected results and unexpectedly absent.
Well, considering I don't know what that second one is, I feel it's safe we go with the first one.
Unexpected results.
Yep.
Shuffle your library and then reveal the top card. If it's a non-land card, you may cast it without paying mana cost. If it's a land card, you may put it onto the battlefield and return unexpected results to its owner's hand.
Yep.
This seems like a terrible Magic card.
Oh, it is, but it's so much fun. I'm going to be playing it this week for Modern. And
in what?
For Modern.
I didn't catch it. In Modern? Okay.
Yeah. And while I was playtesting it, I realized how much fun it is with Imbrical.
Okay, so what's your deck's like? Unexpected results, lands, and Imbrical?
It's unexpected results, land, Imbrical,
Polymorph in the land that makes a token when it comes into play?
No. Sylvan Primordial, Acidic Slime, Ulamog, basically anything that, you know, destroys their lands, I have it in the deck, so that way it slows them down until I get what I want.
Yeah, I like my version better.
Well, you can build your version and be wrong.
Polymorph lands, fetch lands to go and get the Dryad Arbiter. Polymorph, this would make a sweet Polymorph deck. Bro,
well then, bro, do it.
You do it.
No,
it's, you're that. This is.
I'm doing it unexpected.
Alley. This is up your alley. Polymorph, unexpected result, same card.
I don't like alleys.
You don't like alleys?
No.
Why? Why don't you like alleys? They're dark. Bad things can happen in the alleys.
Nope. Every woman I know that's named Alley has been a complete. Hey, what's your card?
My card is Invasive Surgery, and it's my troll card this week because it dominated the draft for me this week. Surprise, surprise. Like, we did a Shadows Over Innistrad draft, and I kind of picked this up late. I was like, whatever. You know, I was deep blue with this card. I almost in every single game. And I almost got to the point at the, towards the end, I was like, maybe I should just leave it in. It was so good.
And that's what she said.
Oh, man, it was insane. So one match, I was dominating easily, and my opponent cast the spell that make a 4-4 flyer. Well, I was playing a mill deck, so they had Delirium, and I got crushed by a 4-4 flyer. And I was like, oh, okay. So I brought in the invasive surgery, and for one blue, they don't expect it, right? Like, I don't know if this thing could be good in other formats other than limited. Like, it feels like it can be for really powerful sorceries, but I don't know what really powerful sorceries there are in other formats that don't involve can't be countered. Can you think of something, or you're like way down in the lower corner of the screen like a ninja?
I was sitting.
Why were you sitting? You have a standing desk. Stand at your desk, fool.
Yeah, something about my knee hurts.
So what sorceries does this encounter in other formats, like in Standard? Is there a sorcery that's played in Standard?
Yeah. Well, at least in one deck, Green Red Ramp. Invasive Surgery just shuts it down.
The game 7-1. And, of course, I guess Explosive Vegetation also, right?
Ruin in the Wake, Explosive Vegetation, Nissa's Pilgrimage. It just turns off the whole deck.
Yeah, the black deck, I guess, currently has the tutor that gets back gives you back 3 mana. Mm-hmm. So I suppose there's a few things. What about like Modern? Is there anything in Modern that's a sorcery that you can think of that this would be good for? Again, it's a single blue mana to counter a sorcery. Like, and if you have Delirium, which sometimes is a thing, not always, but sometimes.
Honestly, I think
you can go cranial extract the things.
I think in Modern, that's kind of less of a threat or less of a good answer, because with the exception of
like Tooth and Nail.
Burn and Tooth and Nail. And even half of Burn is instant speed, but
right.
I mean, negate the spell.
Right. That's what I was wondering. Is there a sorcery that's worth playing in some of these other formats? Like, I can't think of anything. Doesn't mean there's not. This thing being able to go and cranially extract your opponent is pretty crazy.
Right.
I don't know. It might just be a good sideboard card, but it was not nutters for me in the draft this last week. I don't know. So let me talk about my draft deck, because I have it sitting here in front of me, and I want to talk about it and see if you would have did the same thing. So I opened double rare double mythic in the pick one, pack one.
Okay.
I think I had the Red Angel, like the 4/9 haste, take double damage or whatever.
Yeah.
I had that, and I had Startled Awake.
Okay.
So I already revealed to the table the Startled Awake, and I could either pass Startled Awake to Joe, Joe of the email bag for the last couple of weeks and again this week, or I could pass him the Red Angel. And I thought, well, you know what? Startled Awake is basically nuts. I'll take the Startled Awake and see what happens. I expect to fully be cut from blue by taking Startled Awake. We'll see what happens. I think my next pick was like a Fiery Temper. And then I got a Foil Fleeting Memories, which is probably my favorite Magic card to come out of this set.
Your draft pod was just filled with idiots. And I mean that in the nicest way possible.
Well, what's killer is the person that was on my right was also mono blue. I don't know what his pick order was, but the fact that I got the Fleeting Memories after I showed everybody that I got the Startled Awake, pick one, pack one. Like, I don't understand what people were thinking. So the rest of the pack kind of went fine or whatever.
Did you go blue green clue?
Well, I'll get to that. I'll get to that. Okay. Like I was bouncing around. I picked a couple of like red dual lands and a couple other red cards here or there. I didn't want to solidify Joe into red. Like I was 99% sure I did by passing him the red mythic angel. But I didn't want to like promise that or whatever. So I had a little bit of blue pick, or mostly blue, a little bit of red, you know, one or two green cards or whatever. And then pack two, pick one. I opened this card.
Get out.
Cameo's Journal. And I went, oh, okay, I have a plan. And I proceeded to take basically every card that says make a clue, like Jace's Scrutiny and Confront the Unknown.
Yep.
And I proceeded to basically say, this is my deck now. I picked up a couple ongoing investigations. I managed to pick up a magnifying glass relatively late that pack, I believe. And I think Joe passed me pick two, what we basically considered before I decided that Fleeting Memories was the best pick. Best uncommon. I picked up the pack Guardian. So I'm like, all right, well, this seems good. Like my, it's all coming together. Then pick three pack. I had the choice between foil altered ego and like a bunch of junk. So I took the foil altered ego and, basically went to town. I went undefeated. But we did run out of time. The game that of the guy that had the wrath. Like I said, I thought I had him beat, and then he wrathed, and then he was able to win game one. Game two, I was able to Tameo's Journal with the enchantment on the field. And I did this several times. Mill 9, tutor up Startle Awake, and Startle Awake, which is 22.
Yeah, and that's late game, huge. So...
Well, it's not. I mean, Tameo's Journal's turn. So, I mean, yeah, it wasn't bad. I think I almost wonder if it's not viable to pull this off in standard.
It is. I did it.
Like,
I went 4-1 with a blue deck.
The Tameo's Journal, Startled Awake.
It wasn't Fleeting Startled Awake. It was Tameo's Journal, Fleeting Memory. Trail of Investigation? Isn't that the other enchantment that when you cast an instant or sorcery, you investigate?
Yes.
That and then...
Sacrifice a clue, you get a 1-1?
No. That's the green one. This was blue-white.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was playing blue-white. But it's completely viable on standard.
I think it's great. Like... I think that there's probably enough stuff in there. I might actually try putting it together.
You want my list?
I mean, you can send it to me, but I think mine will probably be like blue-green and taking advantage of things like Tireless Tracker and...
cards that require money.
Right, the Altered Ego. I mean, these are things that I just have lots of from drafting. So, Altered Ego... Startle Awakes, a couple Tameo's Journals, and we'll see what happens from there. But I don't know, I'm kind of excited to see how it works in a standard environment where everything's just full of fast creatures all the time. I think you can get away with like the blue spell that says return all things at toughness equal less.
Yeah, okay, so when I was playing it, I had blue-white control, and sure. I used the white for Expose Evil. Huh?
I was going to say, I think it's Descent of the Angels, but maybe that's not it. The Exiling Wrath?
Yeah, Descent Upon the Sinful. Oh, that's what I used the white for, was those two spells.
Okay.
And Expose Evil and Send to Sleep both tap two creatures. Expose Evil investigates.
Oh, I like that.
Spell Mastery with Send to Sleep makes them not on tap. So basically, I would have 8 tap 2 different creature spells, then Engulf the Shore, and Descend Upon the Sinful. And then everything else was Make a Clue Token or Mill. But having Cameo's Journal on the field with Fleeting Memories, and then fetching up another Fleeting Memories, and then the next turn activating Cameo's Journal again, is just stupid.
Yeah, if you can activate Cameo's Journal every turn, is great.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Pack one, like pick three or four or something, or five, somewhere down the line, I got the double all the tokens.
Yay, season's passed. Or...
I never used it. I had it in my hand once, and it was just overkill, so I never cast it.
Whoa, hold on. I'm going to go back to my old barbarian roots. There is no such kill as overkill.
Okay, so I would have won the game either way, but it was going to slow the game down an extra couple of turns by doing it. So instead, I just won the game.
No.
Give me a
always,
right there.
Always got to go with extra.
No.
Yes.
Sometimes I just like winning the video game.
Board game?
All right. Board game, video game, all the games. I just want to win the game. Always. Always be winning.
Always win, never lose.
So you were going to tell me a story, because I thought that I was almost going to do Confront the Unknown as my troll card, and then you had a story. So I want to hear this story about the Confront the Unknown, because I think this is a great card in Magic.
Okay.
Right now, and I really want to make it something happen.
So, actually, my story was about the subtitle, but I do have a story about Confront the Unknown, because...
Ooh, double stories.
Yeah, well, basically every draft that we've done with Shadows over Innistrad, I have taken three cards, no matter what I'm drafting, I just take three cards, either out of spite, out of use, or out of hate drafting.
Okay.
Confront the Unknown is one three of those cards. And
Confront the Unknown?
Yes, that is one of the cards that I will always take unless there is something that I absolutely cannot pass up. And the reason being is because there is one draft that we did where the dude, he was doing the blue-green draft, or the blue-green investigate deck.
That's a great deck.
And he had two of the graph moles, and then something else that, yeah. And then something
that
else
was that was the card that, so Tameo's Journal pick was Tameo's Journal or Graph Mole.
Yep.
Like, it just, and I was like, oh, man, I hope this comes around. Of course it didn't. But, like, it always feels like those are the two cards that are together. It's like the card you need for your combo or the mole to keep you alive to get your combo off.
Yeah.
So guy had two of the moles.
Yep.
And?
Confront the Unknown and one of those, it had Trample. One of his cards had Trample. So he just swung in with his team, and I saw the other dude block the smallest creature. And, you know, logically, that's a smart decision. But then after blocks were declared and nothing else was happening, before damage, he played two Confront the Unknowns on the one dude and just wiped out the opponent. And ever since then, I've tried to pick Confront the Unknown every time just out of fear.
Yeah, it's so good. Like, I killed one guy. I had like five or six clues out, and I just had two of them in my hand and a flyer. The flyer, the 2/1 with prowess.
Yeah.
So I just like gave him plus, you know, like plus five. Plus five, and then the prowess. And then I did it again and gave him like plus six, and another prowess trigger. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of damage from a spec to come through. I mean, that was 14 damage or something.
Yeah, and that's from like a two drop and two commons.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's a 1/2. I think it's a blue and 2 mana. But still, it's almost nothing. And I just, it seems very, very good, especially if you can do something where you can make it go. I also have the feeling that there's probably a deck out there. There's probably lots of decks out there. There's probably a deck out there that could use the ability to pay a green, give something just +1/+1 for the turn clue to either use as the artifact or just to draw to replace itself in potentially more longer formats like modern or whatever, older formats, whatever you want to call them. Like, it just seems like a good card to me. Especially it's a slower cantrip. And I think that this is going to start being a thing as people get used to the idea of not every cantrip says draw two. Some of these cantrips say investigate, and you spend another 2 mana when you're ready to make it happen.
Right.
Especially, like I said, in decks that have like Arcbound Ravengers or other things that basically say, you know, that can take advantage of artifacts.
You know, now,
Atoms or tap two artifacts to do a point of damage, stuff like that.
Now, quick question, and I was just thinking about this, like right now. Would Pithing Needle shut down Clue Token?
I think so, yeah. Because the clues all say the word clue on them, right?
Yeah.
They say clue, and then they say pay two and sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ability. Because it's got semicolons.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it should shut them down.
Because I don't know the exact wording on Pithing Needle. Like, I don't know.
Colon, sacrifice this artifact, colon. So that's his activated ability, draw a card. So, yeah, it would shut it down. So that's a danger. That's something to think about in the clue artifact deck that I'll build.
Well, although, but it says Pithing Needle says as it enters the battlefield, name a card.
That's true. Because it's a card, it may not work.
Yeah, well, because it's not a card, it may not work.
Right. Right. Because the clues are tokens. You may not be able to, because it's not a card.
Alright.
I have to double check.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. We have one of
the judges screaming at us right now, like, no, you idiot, you're supposed to be a judge, you're supposed to know these things.
I'm not a judge, I'm a troll, I do what I want.
Well, I'm both, but a lot of times when you get these answers, you're going to look them up anyway, so there's no reason to save room in your brain for some of these answers. You can just be like, oh, what's the answer to this question? Then you look it up, and then they go, I don't think that's right. Like, well, would you like to see the phone where I looked up the answer? Because if not, you can call the head judge. It's not going to hurt my feelings any.
Right.
Which happened several times at the PBDQ a couple of weeks ago. People were like, I don't think that's right. I'm like, please call the head judge. Please. I've answered this question twice today. I look forward to the fact that the judge walks over here and says, no, Sam is right. Shut the hell up. Continue your game of Magic. Like,
right.
I want this to happen. Like, okay. No, seriously, answer this question a bunch.
So,
tell me your other story real quick.
That's what I was about to do.
Would you just do it already?
No, I'm going to take my time now since you raised your voice at me. I don't respond well to negativity.
Oh, poor you, baby.
I'm so sad. Actually, I do respond. Huh?
Your beard's getting too long.
Yeah, that's why.
There's some more negativity. How about that? Oh, you want me to highlight you so everyone can see you brush your beard?
Here
you
go. I don't give a shit. So, with Startled Awake, I was playing against our judge who, oh man, he gets so salty so quick. And all right,
so hunter of your area.
Yeah, except worse sometimes. Like, it's bad and it's great. So, he was playing Naya Planeswalkers. Which, that's a really solid deck, and I really enjoy playing against it. And the first game, I milled him out without him seeing Narset. And then The second game, he just overran me because I didn't get any of my mill conditions, and I had a port town, which slowed down my engulf the shore, which is why I only run three in the deck. But then game three, I played Narset and I bumped her up, and then he tried killing it, but in response I tapped his creatures down with Send to Sleep.
Right.
And then on my next turn, I was like, all right, I'm gonna neg two Narset. And he goes, all right. And I go, I cast Startled Awake. And he just looks at me, and he looks at it, and he goes, that's effing garbage. And so I proceeded to mill him 13. I passed my turn. His next turn, he draws a card, and he goes to attack me, and I send to sleep his creatures again. Right. And then on my turn, I cast Startled Awake for free, which, oh my god, that feels so good. And he was like, this is such effing BS. Like how I censored myself.
I do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he was like, this is such effing BS. You're not even doing anything and you're winning. I have no way to answer your threats.
My threats? You mean my ability to get rid of your threats? Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Exactly. And he was just getting so salty. And then after he searched his library for the last time, he was like, well, I guess I'll play Evolving Wilds and crack it. And I was like, all right. So you crack your Evolving Wilds. He goes, and then he does something. I'm like, okay, engulf the shore, put everything back in your hand. This is late in the game, probably like turn 8 or 9. And he goes, all right, well, I guess I'll just play my stuff and pass turn. So I draw my card. I pop up Jace, the new Jace, the 5-mana one. Amazing in this deck because Sphinx is tutelage. And then I was like, how many cards are left in your deck? He goes, well, I have, oh, so he counts. He's like 12. I was like, do you have Startled Awake? I go, yeah, I do. He goes, just show it. And I showed him Startled Awake. He's like, gah! He scoops up his deck and he's like pouting for the rest of the night. Then I just ended up dropping because I wanted to play Commander and I knew that would make him even more mad.
Oh, jeez. anyway, I want to throw this out. So I was playing against Joe this week and he crushed me. He had double mythic rare angels. The double mythic red ones.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, so he crushed me game one, no problem.
The 4/4 and the 4/9?
Yeah, he had both of them. I passed him the one and he scooped up the other one as it came around. And I'm like, all right, no problem, whatever. We'll see what happens. You probably beat me, you know, whatever. So I'm sitting there watching how much mana he's got, right? I'm like, okay. And I've got my Startled Awake in my hand and I'm just waiting. I'm like, you know what? Now we're going to hit him. He's like, what? So I Startled Awake and he starts flipping cards. And like somewhere in the middle, he'll hit one. And then the 12th card or the 13th card is the other one. Like two games in a row. And he's like, there's just no way to win now. And I'm like, yes. Victory is mine. The card was sweet. The only reason I drew that first match was time. If I would have had one more turn, I would have milled my opponent out. So I needed two turns. I needed a turn and they needed a turn. Force them to draw.
Right.
Excuse me. Jeez.
You're welcome.
I don't know. I really love it in I really love it right now in Limited. So I want to do something new here. I want to do a Noobs 101, like a basic how to magic. And I bring it up because a friend of mine, a writer friend, if you'd like to check out her books, she's got several, I believe, at MarsheilaRockwell.com, I think is her website. But she is spending some time this you know, today, this week, whatever, this summer, learning to play Magic with her son, who's like 12 or 13-ish, give or take, I believe, if I remember correctly. And, like, I just feel like she put a picture up, and I'm going to show this picture for a quick second here. Somebody freak out on me while I make Google do its thing. So when I look at this picture, Travis, I see two zombies tapped, potentially attacking, but at least tapped. That's that big 5/5 flyer, right? And then I see a 1/1 token for what looks like another 1/1 token. There's something tapped. It looks like the life gain ally person, or perhaps the 1/3 that taps to gain a life, and then some other ground-based thing over there. So I don't understand. She later said that she lost this game, and I'm not exactly sure what happened, because I can't tell how many cards he's got in his hand, but it doesn't look like very many. I see a card over here. There's one card face down, potentially some more cards in his hand. She's got one card face down. But how do you have a 5/5 flyer against a board that doesn't look like it's got any flyers and lose? It's pretty difficult. So I wanted to kind of do some for the noobs. And I get it. You're having fun with your kid. You're not necessarily trying to beat your kid. That's not how I play Magic. I play Magic to beat my son every time I play with my son. This way he can improve. It doesn't do anybody any good to let people win when you're playing for fun or whatever for practice.
See, and if you weren't talking about Magic, CPS would be all over you.
So I want to do a couple of noobs 101. First things first, she said that she wasn't real sure that they had all the rules down, which is fair. You're never going to have all the rules down. That's why you have people like judges and resources to look things up on, like gather.wizards.com or whatever. However, I've said this before, and I want to say it again. If you're Magic, there is a game, I think it's called, what is it? Battle of the Planeswalkers? Is that what it is on the, like, I know it's on the
Duel Google of Play. The Planeswalker.
Duels of the Planeswalkers. Basically, it sits down in using, like, Xbox or your tablet or your phone even. You can sit there and play Magic. It's a relatively limited environment, but the rules are all scripted together in such a way that they explain things as they go along. It's one of the best learning aids for new players, in my opinion. And I highly recommend it specifically to new players for that reason. Like, and I know there's a big audience specifically for Duels of the Planeswalkers. I'm not sure how big, but I know it's big enough that some of the major sites are actually making videos specifically for Duels of the Planeswalkers using the card pool that's available through that system. Because I know it's not a full thing. I don't know what you want to call it. That bird is driving me nuts.
Tweet.
Like, I realize you can't do anything about it except pull out your Glock and start shooting out your window. But I don't think you live in Chicago, so the odds are low that you have those things. But
a Glock?
Yeah, you have a Glock?
Sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh. I could close the door or the
window. I mean, if you ever crawl through a window, it's also a door, I guess. But oh, thank you. So much better. Now you're just trying to get me. What was I saying? Anyway, I think it's one of the really good tools. The other thing you should do, right, is go to your local card shop and ask them for the... Travis, do you remember?
I completely lost like a little exactly free... what you just said.
I think the little intro pack deck things, I think they're free. They're like 30 cards or something, and they're pre-packaged up. Most of the local card shops will just give them to you for free.
Well, they're supposed to.
They are supposed to. It doesn't mean that they will do. But they're all standard legal cards. And that's where we found the rule where even if there's a card printed inside these packs, they're free. Or they're not free. They're
considered standard legal.
They're standard legal. This is another printing that basically says it's standard legal. The idea is that you could get two of them and then shuffle them together and you could play your friend in Magic. Most like, I don't know. Anyhow, go get those. Those are relatively well balanced against each other and you can start from there when you're playing Magic. Let's see. What's some other like quick like for the noobs that we can do?
Just play.
Flying creatures can only be blocked by other flying creatures or creatures with reach. That's where you have like that big 5/5 flyer. Should have just dominated that board from the rest of the game.
Yeah, because that's at least four turns. Like right. four turn minimum.
Right. Attacking each turn with your 5/5 flyer, even if they were at the starting 20 life, it should kill them pretty fast. Let's see, what else? Cards in hand are more important than life total, generally, except for the last one.
Right.
That's usually something most people don't figure out until much later in the game. Having options are worth taking it. You can double block or triple block or gang block, whatever you need to do. That's often something that people miss, even experienced players. That came up, I think, this last week, actually. Someone attacked me with like a big 6/6 trample monster. And I threw a bunch of blockers into it and then had them select the order. And then I pumped like, so I had a bunch of guys with like one toughness. And then I had like the 1/5, the flyer. And then I had them assign their blocking order or damage dealing order. So that's okay. So let's just go through that real fast because not everyone's necessarily going to know this. So you declare your attack step. Both players have an opportunity to respond. You declare your attackers. Both players have an opportunity to respond. You declare your blockers. Then the very next thing that happens is they assign how the damage is going to, what order the creatures are going to take damage in. So 9 times out of 10, this doesn't matter because you're just going to block one creature with one creature and who cares. But if you block with multiple creatures, say like Travis is attacking me with a 3/3 and I have a 1/1 and a 2/2, Travis can decide which order he wants them to take their damage. If you want the 2/2 to take damage before the 1/1 or vice versa. And then both players get an opportunity to respond and then damage happens. Okay. So basically, the scenario went, there was enough damage to kill my blockers, but depending on how the order was assigned, I could use my pump spell in my hand to give +1/+1 to save my 1/5, or my whatever it was. I could save multiple creatures using this pump spell. So the order is often important, especially if there's a combat trick that you can play to kind of make things happen. So that's something else that's important. But what's important is that even if your creatures were die, all of their damage gets totaled up onto the one creature. So in the scenario where there's like a 6/6 attacking, and as long as I can take enough creatures together to make 6 damage and there's no combat trick involved, I will trade several of my creatures to kill off their big creature. And that often is advantageous as well to kill their one big thing to trade a lot of your little things, unless you're going to like pump and kill them the next turn. Travis, give us one more noob hint and we'll move on to like the mailbag.
I don't really know any hints. It's just know the order of the turns.
Okay, so like
untap, upkeep, draw.
First main phase.
combat, second main phase, end of turn triggers.
Right.
Like,
and then cleanup.
Yeah. And okay. And those are all highly important to know the order in, because most people, a lot of new people, don't understand that you can do things after you do combat. So I see people playing things, you know, in their main phase when they don't have to. So that way the opponent knows that they don't have any sort of battle tricks or combat tricks or whatever.
I was going to say, why is that important? Yeah, you hit it. As long as there's unknowns in your hand, then it puts, for players who are thinking there and are there, they have to think through what kind of possible cards are that you could play if in combat that could affect the combat based off of what you do. So then it, you still have the same options, but they don't know what your options are. And it's forcing them to play at a higher level. And therefore, then, when their second turn runs around, then you can take that opportunity to play your creatures and be done. Some creatures you want to play before combat, some creatures after combat, you have to look and see. So if there's things with, like, coming to play triggers, it could be a factor. Or it's an artifact, and you have a creature that, you know, says all they get +1/+1 for each artifact or something. There's a lot of reasons to play a creature before combat. There's a lot of reasons to play a creature after combat. You just need to look and kind of see what's the most advantageous. Sequencing is everything in Magic. Sequencing and trying to figure out what your opponent's up to. Anna, do you want to jump to this mail? These new Eldritch Moon spoilers.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we have to talk about at least some of the Eldritch Moon spoilers.
I mean, we have to talk about at least two of them. No. I was talking about the other things.
Mirrorwing Dragon.
No. Harmless Offering.
That's not a Mirrorwing Dragon.
I think we should talk about Harmless Offering because, number one, it has a cat on it. And number two...
Well, let's...
Number two, you can give them a demonic pact with no abilities left.
Yeah, you can do a lot of things with it. I don't think it's that great. So, red and two for a sorcery. Target opponent gains control of target permanent you control. So, yes, you can do a lot of stuff with this card. You can, like you said, you can potentially give them a demonic pact that's only got one option left and kill them. That is a thing that could happen.
You can give them a mind rack demon with no cards in their graveyard, and then they slowly, we both just lose the game as quick as possible. You can give them a priest of the blood rite, so they get -2/-2 or the two life loss every upkeep. Or you can give them Triskaidekaphobia and let them choose how they're going to die.
Well, they just always say every player gains a life, right?
Yeah. Not when I have Tainted Remedy on the field.
Okay. Magical Christmas Land, full effect for Travis. Okay, I get your point. There's a couple of combos in Standard.
I hope there's going to be some really fun ones, too. Like, some new things that come out of this set that are like, you can't attack during your turn. And you just give that to...
That would be better. Like, if you can get to enough useful things, I would be interested in seeing what it's like. But let's hit some of the ones here. Like, what was the other one you wanted to talk about for sure?
Tree of Perdition.
Okay, that one I actually think is pretty good.
The four drop.
I'm trying to find the exact wording here.
Do you target have it up? No, but I memorized it.
Okay, let's hear it rattled off in a useful manner.
Okay, so it costs 3 and a black. It's a defender, 013. You tap it. Plant. It's a tree, so of course it's a plant. Plant. Yeah, but it's a defender.
Defense.
So you tap it, and target opponent's life total becomes the toughness of Tree of Perdition.
Right.
Which so, yes. And that card's either going to be really awesome in Modern or in Standard.
Well, I think it's going to be quite good in Standard right away because Butt Fight 2. But Assault Formation is still legal.
Yep.
For a little bit, at least. And that makes this thing into a 13-13 monster.
Yeah, it's going to be legal at least until the next block.
Right. And there's a lot of really good walls right now. So the Assault Formation deck could make a comeback in a big, bad way.
Saying that like it left.
But also, like, this thing is just really solid, I think. I think you have a lot of ways that you could actually lower the defense or its toughness in other formats, at least temporarily.
Yeah, like dismember it twice, put them down to 3 life, and then lightning bolt them.
Right. You could also the blue one, the blue spell, target creature's toughness makes it like a 1/1.
Oh yeah.
Like
I guess. Well. But doesn't that also make it lose its ability?
I think there's one that just makes it a 1/1 or a 0/1, but it keeps its ability. I'd have to look it up. But there are ways that you could lower it. You could also put like -1/-1 counters on this. I think you can get a lot of action out of this card. I think it's very good. Also, it blocks for days.
Mm-hmm.
Like if this thing had reach, I think that's what's missing from this card. Like, to me, this should just be a rare. If this thing had reach, I could definitely understand its mythic rating.
Well, it's got a mythic rating because it's basically just the bastardization of a Tree of Redemption.
I mean, I get it, but at the same time, it just feels like to me that it needs just a little bit more for it to be a mythic. Tree of Redemption wasn't a mythic?
No, it is a mythic. So why not?
Yeah, I'm going to
look up this card.
Called Tree of something?
Yeah, Redemption. It's basically the exact opposite of this.
So exchange your life total with the Tree of Redemption's toughness. And
It's a four mana defender 013.
I don't think this card should be a mythic either.
But they both have the ability to gain life up to 13.
Kind of. Like they reset life totals. Which
right. But if your life is less than that, then it's life gain.
Correct.
So that's why Tainted Remedy is amazing.
I guess.
You're at 6 life. Tree of Perdition's on the field and Tainted Remedy. All right, go ahead and gain 7. Oh, just kidding. You're dead.
I would have to check the ruling on that one.
Magical Christmas Land. It works.
Resolves, Tree of Redemption's toughness will become your former life total, and you will gain or lose an amount of life necessary, so your life total equals that. All right, well, I guess all those things work.
Guess Magical Christmas Land is accurate. You're welcome.
I guess so. Yeah, I don't know. That seems weird.
Well, the only reason I know that
specifically says exchange your life total.
Right.
But the only reason that's considered life gain most of the time, but
Well, the only reason I know that is because Resolute Archangel is the exact same thing. Your life total becomes your starting life total.
Oh, that's true.
So, I mean, you're either going to gain up to that or lose down to that.
So what do you think about Murder being back?
Meh.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said, too.
Better than Ride Down?
I like Ride Down, though.
They wasted a rare spot for it.
Did they make it a rare?
Yeah.
It's not a rare.
Pretty sure it might be.
Yeah, Ride Down's an uncommon. At least according to MTG Salvation. That's an uncommon. Homie.
Well, then they downgraded it from the last time.
It wasn't one time, too.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Am I going to have to prove you wrong now?
Yep.
All right, let's look. Hey, come on, Gatherer. Stop being a bad... yep, uncommon. It's always been an uncommon.
Kind of wasted an uncommon slot.
I mean, I don't know.
I guess if you're playing red white Eldrazi and you know they block an Ulamog and you're like, no, fuck off. I mean, that was your fault.
I just think that Ride Down has a lot of interesting potential. Destroy target blocking creature, boom. Creature that were blocked by this creature gain trample on the turn.
Oh, like, man, I just thought of what would make that good. Wait, no. Hold on.
They were to block with the spider that blocks a whole bunch of things. I don't know. Anyway, I think Ride Down's a good card. Let's see, what else do we need? Mercurial Geist? As plural guys, more than one, right?
Because wizards hate people with lists.
Basically. So a red, a blue, and two for a 1/3 spirit with flying. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, this creature gains +3/+0 to end of turn. So that gives us now three creatures with this effect, right? Mm-hmm. That gives...
Yep, because there's Kiln Fiend and Nivik Cyclops.
Right, and there's a flyer one, right? No. There's a flyer that has this ability.
No.
Is this the first flyer that has this ability?
Yes.
So I have a feeling this guy's going to be seeing some play in Extended or Modern. At least is like a two of. Like it's a way to... have an evasion creature. I don't know. I think that's okay.
You know what I think is okay?
Hit me.
Mournwillow.
Mournwillow?
Yes. It costs a colorless black and green. It's a 3/2 with haste. If you have delirium, creatures with power 2 or less can't block this turn.
Oh, that's all right.
And then also...
We have Devils that has this ability. What should we call this ability? This ability needs a name.
What ability? Light
Prowess, but only front-loaded. When you cast an instant or sorcery, it gets +X/+0 till the turn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just always called it +3/0.
+3/0, so...
Yeah, +30.
Anyway, keep going. I feel like there's a flyer that has this ability, and I wanted to check. Yeah, we Dragonauts. It's +2/+0 instead of +3/+0. My bad. Sorry.
Told you.
My bad. Do we Dragonauts get played in that deck, in the Kill Fiend deck?
No.
Too slow?
No. Well, it was too slow, but also, if you're spending the 3 mana... then you want the 1/4 because that at least has the ability to take some damage.
Oh, lightning bolts. All right. What do we think of this Crypt Breaker?
Hold on. Let me go see that it's again.
It's a black for a 1/1 zombie with the ability that says a black colorless and tap, discard a card, make a 2/2 black zombie token creature. Does not come into play tapped, which is different from most of the zombie making cards that we've had in this set. And it has the ability that says tap 3 untapped zombies, draw a card, and lose a life. I think this guy is pretty great.
I think he's going to be really well with all the different madness enablers or the madness cards.
I think the madness cards, I think just various good zombies right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, okay, so let's say you get him out on turn one. Turn two, you play a different zombie or whatever. Then, like, turn three, you activate his ability and discard a Fiery Temper.
Okay.
Then you have three zombies, plus you just did a lightning bolt to them.
So zombies in standard that are good. Fleshbag Marauder.
That's all right.
We have that for a little bit longer. Nantuku Husk.
Garbage. That's a
pretty good zombie. Oh, that guy's great. Prized.
Well, it's never been good in any deck.
The prized Amalgam? How do you say that? Amalgam?
Yep.
That guy seems okay. Relentless Dead. That's a solid zombie. Well, we still have this zombie. It's never done anything.
Never done anything. I'm kind of upset by the fact that it's never done anything, but it's still like a $6 card. Everyone's just like, no, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. Trust us.
I think it's got the piece that it needs now with this one drop zombie. Risen Executioner. Obviously, zombie.
Another $5 card that hasn't done anything.
Let's see. Shambling Goblin. Sadisi, Undead Advisor. Or Undead Visor.
Vizier.
Mm-hmm. Vizier. Booby Holder. I guess there's also Walking Corpse from the welcome deck. That's what they're called, welcome decks. So if you just want like a generic 2/2 for two, you have that guy.
Zombie Bear.
Basically, that's what it could have been called. So I mean, that's you got what a
they should have called it.
Like, I don't know how many more zombies are in Eldritch Moon, but you're close.
Gissa and Giralf are in it. Did you see those?
The new what?
Gissa and Giralf. They showed up together. Hold on. Let me go back to it.
I'm looking.
It's a 4-drop, 2 blue and black. It's 4/4. Oh, wait. It's a human. Never mind. Well, no. When it enters the battlefield, put the top 4 cards of your library into your graveyard. Then during each of your turns, you may cast a zombie from your graveyard.
That sounds good.
Yeah. But then, they gave us the Black Oath. Remember how I was just like irritated by the fact that there wasn't a Black Oath?
Yes.
And now there is one, and even the flavor text on it is just great. Because
Well, Nissa's here to save everybody, right? Or not Nissa, sorry. Lily?
Yeah.
Can we get to the girl in the room?
But
what do we think of this?
But I love how the flavor text on it was.
All right, well, let's look at that first before we get crazy. I'm just going to pull up, like, if it'll actually pull up. It's not pulling up for me the way I want it to. Here we go.
But, yeah, the flavor text on it is just – she just seems like such a – like she's doing it out of spite for everyone. It's just kind of like, I'll keep watch. You happy now? Love you.
So, black and two – when Oath of Liliana enters the battlefield, the opponent sacrifices a creature. It's not Receptacal, Justin. At the beginning of each end step, if a planeswalker enters the battlefield, get a 2/2 black zombie token creature.
Yep.
I don't know. I think it's probably one of the better oaths, to be honest.
Yeah.
because it actually kills a creature. Yeah, they get a pick. Blah, blah, blah. Same crap as always. The sorcery speed, sacrifice effect, whatever. But sometimes it's all you need. Like, this could easily be a four of in a lot of decks, I think, and no one will lose any sleep over it. Let's talk about Lily. Like, a lot of people are hating on her. I'm not sure where I feel. I feel like it's probably okay. Like, so for three mana, black, and one. Whoa, shaking the camera. Apologies. You get a three mana planeswalk. Her plus one ability says up to one target creature gets -2/-1 till your next turn. She has a minus two ability that says put the top two cards of your library into your graveyard. Then you may return a creature card from your graveyard to your hand. So, card.
Card potential out of your graveyard. Card advantage, yeah.
And then you have a -7 that says you get an emblem. At the beginning of your end step, put X22 black zombie creature tokens onto the battlefield. Well, X is 2 plus the number of zombies you control. So it always makes 2, and then it can make 3 and 4 and so on. Or
no, it'll make... Sorry. It'll make
goes up by 2.
Yeah, it'll make 2, 4, 6.
6, 8. Who do we appreciate? Lily. Yay, Lily.
Mm. Well, no. Wait, no, that math seems wrong. It'll be...
But it does...
It'll be 2. And then the next turn, it'll be... 2 plus the 2.
Right, which is 4. And then it'll be... Keep going.
No. No, I don't know why my brain just was like, no, that's not right.
I mean, yeah. It all depends also on how many of these exist. But they don't come into play tapped. They're coming to play untapped, which is also very strong.
Right, so you get blockers.
So you get blockers. So let's just break it down. Jace's plus one ability on the flip Jace, his target creature gets -2/-0 thunder turn.
Right.
This has the potential to kill a creature.
Well, and if
you may have to do it in combination with blocking or whatever, but
okay, so, can. So the way I feel about this is it's going to shut down Sylvan Advocate until they get 6 lands.
It's definitely going to help.
Like, it's just going to be like, all right, well, now you have a 0/2 vigilant creature. Come at me, brah. Right. But even when Sylvan Advocate's big, if you give that's it that neg, yeah, then it's just a, it's what a, okay, so it'd be it's like a 4/5, so it's a, what?
Yeah, it's a 2/4. It's a 2/4.
Yeah, so even then.
It's not anywhere near as big as the 4/5.
Right, and it's so much easier to kill that way.
And then with Liliana, you're probably already playing a creature deck, to be fair. Is that feel fair to you to say, especially with like Kalidus, what's the 2/3 flyer, the angel, the vampire that's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name right now. That gives, she's got first strike and she gives everybody +1/+1 when she does combat damage to a player.
Right.
I can't think of her name off the top of my head. But you have those two. Plus, like I said, you have all these zombie cards potentially. Drana. Right? Yeah, Drana. To me, it seems fair that you're going to be running a creature based deck if you're running Liliana the Last Hope.
Right.
Especially with things like the lose a life when a ally or when a creature dies,
mm-hmm.
and the husk and relentless dead and the 1/1 that makes zombies by discarding a card. Like, I just feel like you have the potential ability here to just go crazy.
Right.
I feel like she's going to be an amazing card in general. She may not have the standalone power like the other three mana Lily, but it still seems very, very strong to me, just in general. So I don't know. I think she looks good. the artwork is very, very close to being the best artwork I've ever seen on a Lily. Like, I
guess she's a classic broad.
Throw it up on the screen real fast, I guess, if it'll let me. Here we go. Uno momento. Yeah, what do I have to do to make this bigger? Can I just, there we go. So she's just like standing here with that come get me pose. She's got the arm like, here, look at what I brought for you. I brought for you the answer to all your problems. Eldrazi El Smazi. We have an army of dead here. Let's get the same like the White Walker guy has. Like a lot of people have this as the come to me, come at me, bro. But to me, it seems like I brought the party kind of pose. She's got the little smile. The only thing that's weird about this, and one of the reasons, like when this card was spoiled, a lot of people thought this was fake, right? Because there's not the rest of the picture in the background in the text box. But I feel it looks good. She's still breaking the boundary box in the artwork. I don't know. I like this artwork. I said, I think the only thing that could have made it better was if her is it's not really a hat or head. What is the thing around her head, Travis? Do you know what the name of that's called?
Like her let me zoom up. Well, it could be a tiara.
Should you call that a tiara?
Well, she's a princess.
She is a princess. All right. What? Let's say, like the majority of the time, her tiara is more of a gold color instead of a silver, which I think makes her skin a little bit more like sharply colored. Like she seems very pale to me in this picture, and maybe it could be
a cowl.
Maybe it's a cowl.
Cowl, yes. C-O-W-L.
I don't know if you consider that a cowl or not, but I don't know. Anyway, I think she looks good. I'm hoping that she's going to be an interesting Magic card.
10 out of 10
would be. I don't know. I think she's going to be great. Effing great. And I want to see good things happen for her, but not until after I get a playset. I hope she's like old Jace. And nobody or flip Jace and nobody likes her, and she's like $5. And then I'm gonna buy a playset right away at $5. Then I hope she like everyone realizes how good she is and shoots up to like $100.
Cabral is just like her head thing is a veil.
It's a veil?
Yeah.
I don't think so, but we'll go with it.
I don't know.
I think
if that's the case. If that's the case, then her name would be Liliana of the Hat.
Liliana the Hat. That's true. But see, like how it in other pictures, how it gets worn. Like, I don't know. It's very strange to me how this is done. Let's see. So, can we talk about the Big Daddy card now? For me, at least. The card I think is going to be super sweet.
Hold on. What?
I'm putting it up on the screen.
Oh, you mean the card that they're just like, hey, you know what's a great idea? Let's make Zada completely useless now.
And no, then they did that. No. This card is great. Why is Zada completely useless?
Because they just gave Zada, they just made it cost one more, gave it flying, made it not legendary, and then made it a 4/5.
Ah, for one more mana, I would trade that for one more mana all day, Travis.
Yeah, but like I said, you're just completely making Zada irrelevant.
I don't think so. I mean, that's true. Zada does become relatively irrelevant. Unless you are playing on Goblin characteristics.
Or playing both of them.
I just... Like... Zada could easily become Mirror Winged Dragon number... Like 5 through 6.
Number 5 through 8.
I don't know if I'd play all the Zadas and all the Mirror Wing Dragons.
Well, I'm sorry, you're wrong.
4 and 2. I think I'd play 4 and 2. Because in the deck that I want this effect,
all they Zadas, need now is Fling.
The problem is Zadas get piled up in your hands. right? Like, you'll get two Zadas and not another creature. It's like, well, I guess I'll play this Zada and watch it get lightning bolted to death and not get any value. Where this Mirroring Dragon on the plus side, at least it can come down, right? Like, it can come down. And if you have two Mirroring Dragons and you cast them both, oh well. Like, no harm, no foul. I guess I'll just have these 2/4/5 flying beaters. They do live through Languish. But can you imagine, like, the dragon deck that could go with this thing? Like, so we still have some really, really good dragons in Standard right now. Plus, we have the dragon land. So, like, you could go red, like, just in red dragons, right? So you have Thunderbreak Regent, this guy. Technically, you have the draw two dragon if you wanted to do that. But then you could easily go black for the Dragon Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could easily go green for the Dragon Lord. Or you could go both, because god damn it, you're green.
Yeah, Jund. Let's do this.
Jund dragons. Like, and then you have excellent, like, pump spells and other things. Like, how great is this in red with the couple of creatures confront the unknown? Like, that's insanity, right? I'm waiting for Travis to be like, yeah, that's great. He can't decide how good it is. He's just sitting there quietly. I can't even tell if he's
talking or not. Did you see Mind's Dilation?
Have I seen your Mind's Dilation?
Yep.
No, what is it?
So this card is going to be awesome or horrible. So it costs 7. It's an enchantment. And whenever an opponent casts his or her first spell each turn, that player exiles the top card of their library. Oh, if it's definitely a non-land card, you may cast it without paying its mana cost.
I take it back. I did see that. Mine just... Okay.
That card is amazing.
It seems very expensive for the effect.
Yeah, but it's blue, so you're going to be playing a control deck anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems okay.
And by that time, you've already ulted Jace. So their first spell is going to get countered, but you get to play something out of their deck, potentially.
Did we talk about this Stitcher's Graft yet?
I don't know. What is it?
It seems really good on the surface. It's a 1-mana equipment. So 1 generic for an artifact equipment. Target or equipped creature gets +3. Whenever equipped creature attacks, it doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. Whenever Stitch's Graft becomes unattached from a permanent, sacrifice that permanent, equip 2. Like, that seems great.
So what you're saying is, harmless offering that to your opponent.
I don't see how that works. I think it just, like, it's great on, right? For 3 mana, equipped creature gets +3/+3. And if you have the ability to untap your creature, it's great, you know, always. I don't know. I just think this is a solid equipment. You made a bunch of noise. Like, what are you doing?
Lupine prototype. This is going in mono black control.
The two mana five.
It can't attack or block unless a player has no cards in hand. Ridiculous. At least in one deck.
Seems good.
Eldric Evolution.
Man, I don't know where you keep looking for all these things.
It's an MTG Salvation.
Yeah. But so, they're not on this page. That I have to go to their homepage to sort by release. Spoilers, I guess. Let's see. Let's do a couple more of these, and then let's look at Joe's thing here.
Yeah, or we could just ignore him.
Here's one that you put on this was a real card. What are you thinking? Like, what's your first instincts on Deploy the Gatewatch?
I think it's really great. At least if you're playing a Planeswalker deck. Because for 7 mana, isn't that 7? Or is that 6?
6 mana.
6 mana. For 6 mana, you get to look at the top 7 of your library and put 2 Planeswalkers into play, up to 2. So they can't be countered. Because you put them into play. You don't cast them.
The deploy can be countered, but once the spell is resolved, it cannot be countered.
Why is
it focusing? There we go.
So that with Call of the Gatewatch and just run one of every Planeswalker in Standard right now, that's going to be fun.
Would you run one or would you run a couple of each?
No, I just run... Well, how many is in Standard right now?
There's a bunch.
In that case, one.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is okay. I think this is going to be really strong in like blue, white Planeswalker decks right now. Because with just the blue and blue-white, right? You've got Gideon. You've got Jace.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Narset.
Mm-hmm.
You've got... Is there another one? I feel like there's another one. Here, there's not another one. But still, just those three. I guess you have also like Little Gideon and Little Jace, but they don't count because they don't get hit by this.
Right, they're creatures.
But with just those three, you could be running 12, right?
Right.
So 12 of that plus 4 of these. Like now you've only got 5 piles of 4 left to really build your deck from. And then you have things like your bounce spells and your wrath effects.
Well, I figure if you splash in like black, that's adding Sorin, Lily, Obnixilus.
Yeah, see, and those, like right there, that seems great. Like,
it's
got a fancy name.
Yeah,
Esper.
Yeah,
Esper Walkers could be very, very good.
Right, because that bumps it up to.
And then you can
24 targets.
Yeah, but then you don't run 4 of each of them, right? You probably go down
always run 4 of each, 4 of each, and then 8 board wipes.
The problem is that you still have to get to, like your cheapest one is 4 mana, and
nope,
it really doesn't protect itself.
That's
true. I forget about Lily.
Yeah.
I forget about Lily. So you have Lily, who kind of protects herself, but not really.
Yeah, we got Lily and then Gideon, who makes a chunk blocker. Obnixilus, who kills.
Is a creature ability. Like, Liliana's main ability, her -2 ability, is a card advantage engine for creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you run 4 Lilies in this deck.
Always run 4.
Because it's only Planeswalker?
Yeah.
I think you probably just run
6. Got it.
Of her. Oh, no. All right, if there's anything else that we're missing and you want us to hear our thoughts about it, send us an email, please, just like Joe did at the2trolls@gmail.com. We would love to hear about your thoughts. Oh, Tameo. We have the new Tameo as well.
Oh, yeah. Let's not talk about her.
Yeah, she's amazing. We'll talk about her next time. So let's look at Joe's deck. A new Turskadurk Furbearer.
Or not, that's just to spite him.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of talking about decks when people send them in.
I like the idea of spiting Joe because it's funny to me.
All right, fine then. We'll spite him.
All right.
Sorry, Joe. We're not talking about your deck because Travis doesn't love you anymore. Moving on.
Yep.
No, we need to talk about this deck. I think this deck's got some potential. I feel like it does.
Well, he doesn't have Harmless Offering in there.
Oh, it doesn't. Never mind. Moving on.
Yep.
So I'm Samus. You can check out this podcast at samusgarobo.com. I said you could send us an email at the number 2trollsbrew@gmail.com. You can follow at Twitter. Again, I'm Samus Grobo, all one word, SamusGrobo. And Travis is Turtle Power, the number is 319. Travis, how do we want to end the show this week? We did not plan on a game.
Let's end the show by going over Joe's deck.
We're not doing it. You've decided we're not playing. So, we're not doing it this week.
So he has 4 Insolent Neonates, 4 Tormented Voice, 4 Exquisite Flame, 4 Fiery Temper, 2 Alms of the Blood, a playset of Triskaidekaphobia, 4 Tree of Perdition, 3 Kalidus, 2 Languish, 2 Read the Bones, and 4 Grasp of Darkness.
So I've got some problems with this deck.
Yeah, it needs 2 less Kalidus's and 4 more Languishes, and then 1 less Kalidus and 1 more Alms of the Blood.
I don't think that's right. I think some of what you're saying is correct. I think the Kalidus's go in the sideboard and the Languishes go up, but I think it needs more Read the Bones.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's probably the most important card.
If you're playing... Well, I mean, I can understand why he doesn't, because he has Tormented Voice and Insult and Neonate as 4 ofs.
Sure. But really, we need to think of those as Fiery Temper activators. And I'm not even necessarily sure that I would be running those either, to be fair. I might be running the Call the Blood line.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they give you more value. I also think that you should be running... What's the fire that... It's like 2 damage if you cast it as a sorcery, but if you manus it, it's a fireball.
Like Avacyn's Judgment.
Avacyn's Judgment. I think Avacyn's Judgment goes in this deck.
At least as a 2-of.
I think it's a 4-of in this deck, and I think Alms of the Blood comes out. Because well, it's more likely that you can set it straight. It's more likely you can set an opponent straight to 13 with the Avacyn's. Like you can fine tune the damage, right? Between Fiery Temper, Alms of the Blood, you can do this. You can work it out the same way, but I still think the judgment is stronger. Like, oh, you need to take 4. Here's 5 mana. Go to 4. Now die. I'm on my upkeep.
Right, but let's see. His deck has 8, 16, 23 lands. Might be kind of iffy.
Maybe.
Because
I also don't know if you need trees at all, to be honest. Like, I see the reason why the trees are in here.
For and comical value.
No, I mean, yes. But I think that they're really good for, like, oh, I'm going to put myself below 13 so you can't kill me with Triskaidekaphobia. And you're like, nah, go back to 13 and then die. Like I think it's okay. I think you probably have 2 trees, 4 languish, 4 read the bones. I don't know if you need as many grasp of darkness because I think you're going to rely on the languishes to get the job done. So I think you can just switch those numbers around. 4 languish, 2 grasp of darkness. You cut the Kalidus and you go up to 4 read the bones, and I think you can cut the insolent neonates just all together. And run 2 Call of the Bloodline. And then I'm not sure which the Exquisite Flame is, to be fair.
That's one, if it's Spell Mastery, it can't be countered.
Yeah, and I think you cut those for the other one. I think you cut those for the Avacyn's Judgment. Right?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And then this deck seems okay to me. Like, then it changed. Like, you go from having Kalidus and Insolent Neonate as your creatures, therefore their removal is available, and is good. Tree of Perdition, you don't really consider it a creature. Like, it is, but it's so big they have to use like a destroy target creature.
Yeah, who runs Ultimate Price?
Well, I'm just, oh, that's true, Ultimate Price. Yeah. I think you're still fine with that, especially if it's a two of. And then you just try to be as creatureless as possible. Like, maybe you run Omnixilis in this deck.
He is my favorite black planeswalker currently in Standard.
I also really like the idea of splashing mostly off of the man lands and the come into play tap lands. Sorin, mostly because I want to be running some sort of man land in this deck. And otherwise, you're not running any man lands. But like, if you go Mardu with this thing, you could easily run eight man lands, no problem.
Plus, there's that new enchantment in white that also triggers madness.
Yeah. You gain 3 life.
Yep. Pay a white, discard a card, gain 3.
If you're going white, though, you could also get away with threatening Nahiri.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know if you have them or not, but... So, like, what we're telling you, Joe, is scrap this deck, build...
With the exception of Triskaidekaphobia.
Build a Mardu Planeswalker deck using, like, one Tree of Perdition, one Trisk... Or, I guess you can have all the Triskas of yours, who cares? Get the new, call the, what's it called? Activate the Gatewatch. Deploy the Gatewatch so you can get your planeswalkers, run all the man lands, be as slow as humanly possible. That lets you run a million Wraths if you want. You can run 4 Languish. You can also run 4
Descent upon the.
No, I think you just run Descent, right?
Oh, no. Well, if you're running a million.
Because you're just running 2 Trees of Perdition. I'm glad I'm talking right now so people don't have to see what you're doing on the screen.
Look, everybody, I'm putting on deodorant.
Oh, no! No! Stop!
Look, I don't like smelling like a garbage can, and I think our fans should know that.
You're not doing it right, then. I smell like a garbage can all the time. I don't have a sense of smell either, though, so it's hard to judge.
Well, I mean, you don't smell like a garbage can, so we appreciate that.
Well, thanks, buddy.
Although,
I try to shower every day.
Although you don't have the ability to smell yourself, I'm glad that you make it so nobody else also has that ability.
I do my best. I try. I try real hard. My wife often tells me that I smell like a man, though. It's like, oh, you smell like a man. I'm like, well, thankfully, I'm a man. I don't know. I think there's a solid thing in here. I think the idea of Triskaidekaphobia in some number as a potential win condition.
4.
Again, the appropriate number. But I think using, if you're going to do this, you want to take advantage of those cheap madness cards with something like Call of the Bloodline. I just feel like those things together is where the deck is at.
You know what you could also do? Put a one of under the floorboards in there.
A one of a what?
Under the floorboards. From under the
floorboards. Oh, is that the one that makes all the...
Like, if you cast it from your hand, yeah, you gain 3 life and get 3 zombies. But if you madness cast it, you get X zombies and gain X life.
Yeah, sounds good. Like, maybe even you run a couple of them.
Yeah.
I said, I think there's probably enough good madness stuff out there that you want to play a control deck where you're playing a land every turn, and you're using board wipes to keep advantage, and you have, like, these really powerful effects where you can just, like, whoops, catch up and win the game.
I think they should have made Olivia a planeswalker and had her ultimate be all of your spells have madness.
Maybe. I don't know. You could ask, is it Olivia That's the vampire that makes creatures like haste.
Mm-hmm.
Does she trigger herself, or can does she already have haste?
I don't know.
I feel like she already has haste. Maybe she's got flying. I don't know.
She has flying. Let's say
you could run that instead. I don't know. I said I think I would rather go creatureless as possible in this deck, and then put all the creatures in the sideboard. So you could just like sideboard out of this craziness, and then just sideboard into like really effective black red creatures.
Yeah, just have your main deck just be the pile of hot garbage that we love, and then sideboard just bring in 15 creatures and overwhelm them.
Well, he said again, if you have Kalidus, you have Drana, you have like
Falcon Wrath Gorger.
What?
Falcon Wrath Gorger. Just completely side in all vampires. 15 vampires. Yeah. She's a vampire.
Is there a vampire lord?
Not yet.
That seems dumb.
Well, at least not in standard.
Seems like there should be a vampire lord.
Well, there is, but it's not in standard.
What's going on? Oh, you got the guy who, when he comes into play, you can put like plus one counters on vampires, right?
Sure.
That's kind of like a vampire lord. I don't know. I think there's some possibilities in this thing. I think you're potentially onto something, Joseph. I don't know what that thing is yet, but.
And I know when I showed up and we had that win a box.
Mm-hmm.
He took like first or second with his Triskaidek Phobia. So I don't know why he would change it. Yeah, or something like that.
I don't know. It also gives the option of running Galvanic Bombardment. Oh, it doesn't hit a player. Never mind. It's terrible. Don't listen to that.
Do what you want to do, Joe. Troll on.
Troll on, everybody.